I think everybody in this room is pretty much aware that input costs for cotton production have been going up in recent years. And unfortunately, with the exception of a price spike that we saw maybe a couple of years ago, the price that the producer has been receiving for his cotton lint really hasn't kept up very well with the increases that we're seeing in input cost here. And that's been put quite a profit squeeze on some of the producers as they're trying to make their crops here. So in lieu of this profit squeeze, it would make incredible amount of sense to me to try to make the most efficient use of our inputs that we bring to a cotton production system. Two of the inputs that have seen some price increases here in recent years are irrigation cost and nitrogen fertility. And both of these are tied to the cost of petroleum. Nitrogen fertility is made from petroleum products. And most of the, maybe not most, but a lot of the irrigation systems that are operating throughout the cotton belt to run off diesel pumps here. So if we could find out ways to make more efficient use of our irrigation and more efficient use of our nitrogen fertility, that would help with our controlling of costs and making most efficient use of our input for our cotton productions. So the objectives of this particular study were to examine cotton growth under varying levels of nitrogen fertilization under both an irrigated and a dry land system here. And so to accomplish these objectives, we've been conducting a field experiment for the past 4 years, the years 2009 through 12. We had a randomized complete block experimental design with a modified split plot treatment arrangement. Our irrigation regimes were our main plots. Our nitrogen fertility rates and our varieties were arranged factorially for our subplots, and everything was replicated 6 times. As I said, we had 2 soil moisture regimes, an irrigated and a dry land. We utilized 3 nitrogen fertility levels. We had 0, 50, and 100 pounds of nitrogen applied per acre. 4 different varieties were included in this study, and these varieties represented a range of breeding programs, crop maturity, and leaf shape. I will say at the onset here, even though we did have some interactions with varieties and some of the measurements that I'll be reporting on, most of these were related to differences in the maturity, and for the simplicity of this particular presentation, I'm going to be averaging over the varieties for the other main effects that you'll be seeing. We collected a massive amount of data for this study, and for the simplicity of this talk, with the constraints of time that I have with it, I'm just going to be presenting a representative subset of some of the data that we collected. For example, for the yield data that I'm going to be presenting, I'm just going to be presenting the data from the 2010 and 2011 growing seasons. Those happen to be 2 good, hot, dry growing seasons here in the Mississippi Delta. I was able to get a good irrigation response to them. 2009-2012, rainy season, no irrigation response, so you're not going to see that data. The other data we collected, we had dry matter partitioning. We took that during an early bloom period and also during approximately cutout. We measured canopy light interception, leaf chlorophyll concentrations, lint yield, fiber quality, and also some yield components as well. This is a dry matter partitioning, dry matter harvest that we did during early bloom in 2010. Let's see if I can get that. There we go. Plant height, when we applied the highest rate of nitrogen fertility, we increased the point. We increased plant height by about approximately 20%. that high rate of nitrogen fertility compared to the non-fertilized increased the number of nodes about 8%, about 7%, increased the leaf area index approximately 35% relative to the non-fertilized, but it decreased the specific leaf weight of the plants approximately 6% relative to the non-fertilized plants here. Now, at this particular time here, I'm not going to, even though I have the irrigation comparison up there, there was a really good chance, and I'm going on my memory here, that we had not put out an irrigation at this particular time here. So we're not going to be dwelling on the irrigation numbers from this particular dry matter harvest. Let's see. Yeah. This is a late bloom or approximately cut out dry matter harvest here from that same season. Looking at our nitrogen fertility rates again here, plant height was increased approximately 25% with our high rate of nitrogen for fertilization, main stem node numbers about 8%, leaf area index increased about 50% with our high rate of nitrogen fertility compared to the non-fertilized. Specific leaf weight again decreased with that higher rate of nitrogen fertility. It was about 12% lower at this particular harvest state. We did have enough irrigation treatments out there that we have a legitimate comparison between the irrigated and dry land with our dry matter harvest. The irrigated plants were approximately 18% taller in height, at approximately 17% more main stem nodes rather than the dry land plants. Leaf area index was increased about 80% in our irrigated plants compared to our dry land plants. But the dry land plants have about an 18% greater specific leaf weight than did our irrigated plants. And we've seen this quite regularly when we've done an irrigated dry land comparison here. You're getting less leaf area expansion under the drier plots here. You're getting a more compact leaf, and it's oftentimes a denser leaf area. And that's what we're supposed to be reflected in our greater Pacific leaf weights for our dryland plants. One might have expected by taking a look at some of our leaf area index numbers is how they were impacted by our nitrogen fertility and our irrigation treatments. The irrigated plants intercepted about 8% more incoming solar radiation than did the dry land plants. And our plots that received the highest rate of nitrogen fertility intercepted about 25% more incoming sunlight than the non-fertilized plots. 2010, when I finally got around to measuring my leaf chlorophyll concentrations, unfortunately it was a little later in the year than what I would have preferred to have, and the leaves in the dry land plot were at the point that they were beginning to senesce on me a little bit, and they were remobilizing some of their nitrogen out of leaves to fill the developing bowl load. And when I took the leaf chlorophyll measurements at this time, we saw about a 50% reduction in the leaf chlorophyll concentration under the dry land leaves compared to the irrigated. Now, this is completely opposite of some results that I've reported earlier on a irrigated dry land comparison. But on that study, the dry land leaves had not been tripped over into senescing and remobilizing their nitrogen out at that point here. Looking at the nitrogen effect here, as you would expect here, when we increase the nitrogen fertility, we got an increase in the leaf chlorophyll concentration, again about a 50% increase in the leaf chlorophyll concentration relative to the unfertilized. 2011, I was able to get out early enough and collect some leaf chlorophyll data that reflects what I'm accustomed to seeing in terms of a dry land irrigated response here. With our early leaf chlorophyll measurements, the dry land leaves had about 30% greater leaf chlorophyll concentrations when we did these early measurements. However, when we waited later in the season here, as those leaves on the dry land plants that have already been under drought stress for a considerable amount of time, then they were then starting to remobilize the nitrogen out of the leaves to fill that bowl load, and we're starting to senesce a little bit. So we have about a 35% reduction in the leaf chlorophyll in our dry land comparison related to our irrigated. So if you're going to be trying to monitor leaf chlorophyll concentrations in a dry land irrigated comparison, you need to be cognizant of the stage of growth that the plant is in when you're going to be collecting that data and interpreting it. Again, the nitrogen fertilization increased the leaf chlorophyll concentrations. At our early chlorophyll assay period here, it only increased it about 5%, but later in the growing season, it separated out to about a 18% increase in the leaf chlorophyll concentration at our high rate of nitrogen. Finally, getting around to some of our yield data. This is from 2010, which was a good hot, dry year there at Stoneville. We do have an interaction here between our irrigation regimes and our nitrogen fertility. So I've broken out the means for the irrigation and nitrogen fertilities. We have two different LSDs up here for comparison of our means. This top LSD is for comparison of the individual nitrogen fertility rates within a given irrigation regime, and this bottom LSD is for comparison of the irrigation regimes within an individual nitrogen fertility rate here. So first off, let's take a look at some of our dry land yields in the response to nitrogen there. With each incremental increase in the nitrogen fertility level, we saw approximately 150 kilogram per hectare increase in yield with each incremental level going from the 56 up to 112. When we irrigated, that incremental increase in yield went from 150 to 300 kilograms per hectare. And so in essence, we're able to make twice as efficient use of our nitrogen fertility when we're able to irrigate than we can when we're not able to irrigate. Also, you want to note that when we did not put out nitrogen fertilization, we did not get a statistically significant irrigation effect, even though this was a dry year. So what you need to factor in, if for some reason you all don't have the ability to put out nitrogen fertilization for whatever reason, you might want to give serious consideration to any sort of irrigation strategy you might want to apply. Conversely, if you're not able to put out nitrogen fertility, if you aren't able to irrigate, you might also want to give some second thoughts to just how much nitrogen fertility you want to put out. Coming to our second year of our yield data here, looking at our dry land plots here, no response to nitrogen fertility at all when we were not able to put out water. When we were able to irrigate, the first increment of nitrogen fertility, we were able to increase our yields by approximately 150 kilograms per hectare. But that next step up to 112 kilograms, we were only able to increase it about 75 kilograms per hectare. So we were getting diminishing returns with our nitrogen fertility under this irrigated condition. But no response to nitrogen fertility at all when we weren't able to irrigate. Similar to the previous year, irrigation, if we weren't able to put out nitrogen fertility, we were not able to get an irrigation response. Let's see, I'm running out of time here, so. In terms of our fiber quality, under dry land conditions, when we applied nitrogen fertility, we were able to see a fiber strength increase. Irrigation increased fiber micronair at all the nitrogen fertility levels. Irrigation increased fiber length, and under irrigated conditions, when we added nitrogen fertility, we were also able to increase the fiber length. We'll just skip through our conclusions because I think I pretty much said all that anyway, and I guess that will finish me up there. I kind of flew through this. I don't know if I have time for any questions or not, Felix, or we need to wait until later.
I think we'll wait until the end.
Okay.
And let's thank Felix.